The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we're back on Get Up. Before we begin another hour, I always hope everyone to see this because it's just kind of fun to watch. This is Eli and Arch Manning. Arch, of course, is his nephew. Eli can juggle. Arch? Yeah, maybe not as much. So those are just sort of like unique skills that people sometimes do and sometimes do not have. And if you were a regular viewer of this program, then you may already know this. Heather, you may not know this. Jeff Darlington can spin anything.
What do you want to spin?
Get a ream of paper.
A ream of paper? No
problem.
It's
a ream of paper. Watch this.
You can spin anything with centrifugal force. Anything else? Is there anything else you want me to spin?
I'm not convinced that's what centrifugal force means. Okay, this is a laptop.
Company laptop?
This is a laptop. He can spin a company laptop. Go ahead.
My jack's a little restricting.
How about Heather, that's unbelievable.
How about this?
It's remarkable.
What is this?
No, couch cushion?
It's a couch cushion. That's a ridiculous talent.
Is there anything else you'd like me to spin?
No, I don't know.
I thought he was coming for me.
Oh, no. Well, this looks dangerous to me. Yeah. Step back, Heather. Save yourself.
Would you spin that, too?
He's an amazingly talented person. That's Jeff Darlington, who is much better at spinning than even Eli Manning is at juggling. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We're live here at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Hour number two is going to be a lot of fun. Cindy, let's roll it. It's time to Get Up with Jerry Jones. Oh, he's got a lot to say. But did he actually make things worse for his beleaguered coach yesterday? We'll talk about that. Meanwhile, the fallout continues from Kyler's contract, and it isn't pretty. Does this deal doom the Cardinals in the long term? And then Con Air, now boarding for year 18. Does he have one more scorched earth tour left in him in Green Bay? Those are the questions. Here come the answers. Game two of hour two, I should say, of Get Up starts right now with game of the night. Yankees and Mets, game one of a two-game set. Second will be tonight on ESPN. Aaron Judge. Oh, what a year he's having. That's in the first inning. That's his 38th home run of the year. He's on pace for 63. Yanks at 1-0 lead, but they were just getting started. Next verse, same as the first. Anthony Rizzo goes the other way. A solo shot, his 23rd of the year, Yanks, a 2-0 lead. But bottom of one, the Mets have already tied it at two. And Eduardo Escobar sends that one out on a rope to left off Jordan Montgomery. Escobar's got a dozen on the year. Mets take a 4-2 lead. Bottom three, same score. Francisco Lindor is at the plate. Starling Marte is at second. Take a look. Josh Donaldson, the throw. And, oh, we got problems. That ball is directly off the helmet of Lindor. Marte will score all the way from second. Take another look. He's ducking, and it gets him. Costly error. Mets take a 5-2 lead. Top of nine. 6-3 is the score. Gleyber Torres at the plate. Two on, two out. Edwin Diaz, say goodnight. Diaz has been terrific. A four-out save last night. Struck out all four batters. Mets, a 6-3 win in the first game of a two-game Subway Series. Again, we'll have game two tonight. Yankees-Mets. Yankees still have the best record in baseball. Mets still leading that NL East. Max Scherzer on the mound for the Mets. Coverage starts 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. Back to the NFL we go. Cowboys reported to camp yesterday with aspirations of reaching the Super Bowl for the first time in a generation. Jerry Jones meeting with the media, giving a little state of the state, and talked about his confidence in his beleaguered coach, Mike McCarthy, and what would constitute a successful season.
I want to be real clear. He wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. He would not be, and I have choices. We need to be in the playoffs. We need to be viable in the playoffs to have a successful season.
It just feels so good to hear him talking again, doesn't it? And to see RG3 back with us here for this hour. Ryan Clark is here today, and of course, Jeff Darlington. And Jeff, I want you to start it the way you did. I thought that when we played this for you earlier in the show, you sort of positioned this as he's out there defending his coach, and, you know, we can pick apart the way he said it, but you made what I thought was a really interesting point.
I think if we closed our eyes and we picture Sean Payton wearing a Cowboys hat as the head coach of that team, we are talking about the Cowboys as a Super Bowl contender. And I find it more difficult when we enter Mike McCarthy into that equation to do the same. There's a lot of people around the league who, while they believe Mike McCarthy is a very competent head coach, and competent is the descriptive word here, he still has a tendency to let the team down in big moments. Sean Payton, you cannot convince me, would not be a better head coach for the Cowboys. So when Jerry Jones talks about options, he must not be talking about Sean Payton.
Well, I mean, he's got Sean Payton theoretically as an option. He's got Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn in his building, both of whom are both of whom are very likely going to be head coaches somewhere in the next year or two. So all of that, Robert Griffin III, where does all of that leave Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys as camp begins?
Well, Greeny, whenever a man tells you that he has options, he's really just not that into you. But luckily for Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys will be viable this season because of their quarterback, their defense, and their offensive line. When you look at the way that the Cowboys are structured, they have two of the best offensive linemen in the league. Honestly, you could say league history in Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. And they went out and they got a rookie bruiser in Tyler Smith from Tulsa, who's 6'5", 320 pounds, and loves just to run block and hit people. So this Cowboys offensive line was a sixth-ranked unit last year. They need to feed Zeke, find ways to get Tony Pollard the ball out of the backfield on the running game and the passing game. And then when you couple that with a defense that plays like their hair is on fire, Micah Parsons can do it all, Trayvon Diggs, the interception machine, and they need the reemergence of DeMarcus Lawrence. To me, it feels like the Cowboys are ready to yeehaw their way through the playoffs.
Oh, I like every part of it from the Texan with us this morning. RC, how about it? He's high on the Cowboys' talent and potential. Are you as high?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys have a good roster. When you look at what they have offensively with CeeDee Lamb, obviously tight end with Schultz, Dak Prescott as the quarterback, two really good running backs, they should be able to score points. Micah Parsons is a generational talent at the linebacker position or the defensive end position, wherever you want to play him. And so you think about all the pieces they have personnel-wise, this is a good football team. But it's also about execution. We have watched teams win the offseason Super Bowl year after year, which the Cowboys didn't this year, but we've watched teams on paper not perform to the level that we expect them to. It's been a quarter century or more than a quarter century since the Dallas Cowboys have been viable Super Bowl contenders, have put themselves in that place that we think they're going to win or give themselves an opportunity to win. And recently, it's been even worse. Since Mike McCarthy has become the head coach, we've talked more about his mishaps. We've talked more about his undiscipline. We've talked more about his unfathomable moments as a head coach than we have him helping this team win. When the football team has to win in spite of the head coach instead of because the head coach, that is a problem. That is why people like Jerry Jones say, I have options. If you ain't thinking about those options, you ain't talking about those options. And the reason Jerry Jones is talking about those options is because the guy that he has right now is making it very, very, very obvious that that option or those options maybe need to look that closer really soon.
Now, it's going to be very interesting to see how things play out in Dallas this year. And the one thing Mike McCarthy could do to shut all this up is win a whole bunch of football games. The early schedule is tough. Meantime, what everyone in the NFL was talking about yesterday was that man's contract. In Arizona, Kyler Murray signs that contract extension recently, and then we find out that it includes an addendum that requires him to do independent study to watch film for 4 hours a week during the season. If he doesn't do that, and they're not able to quantify that he did it, then he's not in compliance with his deal. Here was his head coach yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury.
On the negotiations, honestly, my entire role in that was prayer and pleading to both parties, and it worked out really well for me. But that's, you know, that's negotiation side of it, and I handle the football side.
So at any point, he's asked to forgive you for not studying?
I have not. When I watch what he's done since he got here, all he's done is gotten dramatically better each and every year. And that's what I judge it by. And there's a handful of quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with in this league, and we feel like he's one of them.
All right, for those of you just joining us, Heather Dinich is in studio with us this morning. We're delighted to have her. RG3, we've not had your take on this. The whole NFL is talking about Kyler Murray and that addendum in his contract. What do you think of it?
Well, Greeny, you know, Kyler Murray's had to deal with short jokes his entire life, and some people have said that he looks like a toddler out there running around, and now the Cardinals are giving him a homework clause in his contract, and to me it's like, what in the reading rainbow is going on here? You talk about 4 hours of independent film study, and he can't play video games or watch TV while he's doing it. That's a hella specific clause for a guy you just gave $160 million. I mean, was it Fortnite that made them not finish the season strong last year? Was it too much Call of Duty, or was he watching too much Coco Melon? I mean, my God. To me, black quarterbacks have always had to be more and do more than their white counterparts. Their leadership has been questioned. Their work ethic has been belittled, and their intelligence is always deemed to be inferior. And I feel like that's exactly what the Cardinals did to Kyler Murray with this contract in the loudest possible fashion ever.
RC, you brought that up yesterday, and RG3, you've, of course, lived this. I would like to ask quickly here, because I have you, can you just give the audience who may not fully understand it an idea of how little 4 hours a week of film study actually is for a National Football League quarterback? RG3?
Is that me?
Oh, no, sorry, RG, Robert, my fault. I didn't specify.
4 hours of film study is what you do after a game on Sundays. Quarterbacks are watching tape trying to figure out what's going on. In a week's time, you're probably going to watch collectively 60 hours of tape. 36 of that's going to come from the coaches with your teammates, just in the normal structure of everything. And then about 24 of those hours are going to be for yourself, independently, watching third downs, watching what a team does in the red zone. RC knows this. There's so much detail on how you break a team down. For them to come out and say, hey, 4 hours of tape, you got to do this or you're not going to get your money. For Kyler Murray, I look at that, that's a slap in the face. It's a complete slap in the face. If you're only studying 4 hours a week as a quarterback, you will not be prepared on game days. Luckily enough for Kyler Murray, he's short enough to duck underneath that slap, count his money, and take care of his family for the rest of his life because he now has generational money. But his agent, I don't understand how he got Kyler to say, yes, this is okay, because on a public stage, they embarrassed him.
Take it, RC.
The thing, you know, and I brought it up yesterday on the show, and I actually tried to stay away from it as much as I could about Kyler Murray being a black quarterback and the trials and tribulations that black quarterbacks have faced throughout NFL history. D. Smith hit me yesterday. He texted me, the director, obviously, of the NFL PA, and he sent me a picture of Kyler, and he's like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I think it's very culturally biased, and it says something very loud that I don't know if people are listening to. For Kyler Murray, one, to have this addendum in his contract, two, not necessarily be forced to sign it, but to sign it, and three, for it to be made publicly is a terrible look for Kyler Murray, for those who look like Kyler Murray, for those who someday wish to be Kyler Murray. I think this sets a very bad precedent for the quarterback position and for those who play it. Kyler Murray is now always going to be seen as someone who takes his blessings for granted, a guy who received the position on the backs of other players that look like him, other players who went through more than him, and is now not grateful enough to do it in a professional manner. No matter where he goes, that is the label he will get. And we are talking about 4 hours of film study a week, independent film study. And for one of those things to say, you have to be studying or reviewing the video while it's being played is the most childish and immature thing I've ever read in a contract. So for the Arizona Cardinals, for Kyler Murray, this is a lose-lose on both sides. It doesn't matter how much money he gets. The respect and the perception of Kyler Murray is forever tainted. I had a conversation with a quarterback recently who told me, I was not a study guy. I didn't want to go home and watch film. I was used to, in college, being able to do it with my coaches. It didn't work for me to go home and do that. That guy was Jamarcus Russell. That is not a conversation you want to be a part of.
I hope everyone is getting an idea of just how passionately a lot of people have reacted to this. It is unlike anything that I can remember in the 30 years I've been sitting here. And Jeff, I know you were working the phones yesterday. Yeah. What did you hear from people around the league?
Well, I think Ryan just put that so perfectly. And I say that because I was texting with another NFL GM, and I'll share his text with you. He said, "We'd never have done that, nor would my owners want me to. It draws too much attention, and it's not worth the paper it's printed on with an arbitrator anyways." And I think that's the most complicated aspect of this. What's the point? What's the purpose? What's the reason? Yes. And it doesn't feel like there is any reason legitimate enough to put the organization or Kyler Murray through this. Everything that Ryan just said feels so accurate in this moment for something that feels so irrelevant to Kyler Murray's ultimate success on the field.
I think that's right. And then, Heather, I know that you spoke to someone very close to Kyler, as close as anybody is to Kyler Murray, about this yesterday.
Former Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley was his offensive coordinator and his quarterback coach, and he told me, look, I've coached great players who are two different types of people. One is the type who needs to study and know every detail and minutia in order for his confidence level to go out and execute it. And the other is more like Kyler in that he says, hey, just tell me what I need to know, and I'll go out and do it. And he said he's going to get better at his preparation, but he said, if I were to go play a game today at any level and gave him the playbook, I would have zero concern, zero, that he'd be able to prepare and execute it.
Yeah, so fascinating. Look, so many interesting perspectives on this. I'll leave it there for the moment in the interest of time, but I think it's a conversation that will continue, and we will at some point hear from Kyler Murray on him as well. As we continue in a moment, it couldn't be a more opposite vibe here. Con Air now boarding for year 18. Does Aaron Rodgers have one more scorched earth tour left in him in Green Bay? We'll talk about them. Plus, could there possibly be a flaw in Patrick Mahomes' game? One defensive coordinator says yes. The question is, does it make sense? You'll find out as we continue. Spirit of Day, Wednesday, get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And again, everyone had a lot of reaction to this yesterday. RG3... What did you think of the way Aaron Rodgers con-aired his way into training camp yesterday?
Oh, Greeny, Aaron's always got something up his sleeve. And I thought they said National Treasure 3 wasn't happening anymore, but it looks like it is. This guy's got the long flowing hair. He is feeling himself right here. And I think he should, right? MVP, do what you do, boo-boo. Do what you do.
I like it. The one thing I will quibble with is he certainly had nothing up his sleeve there. He didn't have any sleeves at all as he showed up for work yesterday. But here's the thing. RC, I'm going to start with you on this one. A couple of years ago, when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, traded up in the first round, I came on here and I said Aaron Rodgers is going to go on a scorched earth tour of the entire National Football League and show everybody he's still the man. And, of course, he's won back-to-back MVP since. Now, a lot of people, candidly including me, are doubting whether this team can be Super Bowl caliber again in the absence, doubting whether he can have the same kind of offensive impact without Devontae Adams. Are we getting ready for another scorched earth Aaron Rodgers tour, RC?
You know, I don't necessarily know if that's the tour the Green Bay Packers need. You think about when Aaron Rodgers was able to win a Super Bowl. He was playing with the number two defense in the entire NFL. They were able to generate a run game. Now, that team did have Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson, who I think are very underrated as people historically look at the weapons that Aaron Rodgers has had. I believe that this team would be led by its run game when you look at its two-headed monster in the backfield. Defensively, they are stacked with talented draft picks, Jair Alexander, Adrian Amos, to name a few on the back end. And so when you look at the way this team is now transitioning, I don't think it's going to need scorched earth Aaron Rodgers. I think it's going to need Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever play the game, to show up in critical football moments, to win in the 2 minutes, to win in the red zone, to win on third down, keep the games close, and then show that you are one of the best players to ever touch the field. I think that's the Aaron Rodgers we get. We get the Aaron Rodgers that does what it takes to win, and the Green Bay Packers find a way to contend for a Super Bowl, find a way to contend in the playoffs, because they understand what they have to morph into, and they still have one of the most talented gunslingers to have ever graced the field.
How about it, RG3, Rodgers without Devontae Adams this year?
Yeah, guys, I mean, it's extremely hard to find receivers like Devontae Adams, and I think the Packers aren't even trying to mimic what they've done in the past. I think they're trying to mimic what the San Francisco 49ers have done to them two of the last 3 years in eliminating them from the playoffs. Coach Matt LaFleur, he's learned from those lessons, and the 49ers didn't need elite quarterback play to beat the Packers. All they did was run the ball, stop the run, and play elite defense. So, yes, when you're the Packers, you take those lessons. They have a two-headed monster in Aaron Jones and Mr. McThickens himself, A.J. Dillon. And they went and got two beasts from Georgia in Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker to add to that loaded defense. And I think that's the process they're going to go through. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 8 passes in the 2019 conference championship game. The 49ers ran for 285 yards, and Jimmy G only threw for 77 yards. So you know the Packers are going to get better QB play out of Aaron Rodgers than Jimmy G, and they can get the best of both worlds if they can get their defense to play to their potential. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. When you can't beat someone, you either join them or you copy them. And the Packers are deciding to copy the San Francisco 49ers.
That's interesting. I mean, Darlington, as you talk to people around the league, what is the general thought on Rodgers here without the big weapon?
I think most people around the league, and I'm talking to people within that circle, that Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, they believe in Matt LaFleur getting the most out of this offense. But Greeny, I can't wrap my head around Aaron Rodgers being the MVP without Devontae Adams, because I look at these other receivers. I'm looking at it right now, like Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard. Randall Cobb hasn't had more than 500 yards since 2017. That's 5 years. Alan Lazard has never caught more than 40 passes in a season in his career. This is not the same as the Chiefs spreading it around to his guys with Patrick Mahomes using big-bodied receivers without Tyreek Hill. Devontae Adams is the best wide receiver in the NFL, yeah, and he's no longer in Green Bay.
Maybe the point these guys are making, RC, I'll give you a very quick final word here. I guess the point you're making is Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be the MVP of the league this year, yeah, and that's not what they're planning for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we're not going to get that same type of production from the pass game without Devontae Adams. But they did find a way to win 7 of the games that he didn't play in. And so I think the Green Bay Packers understand how to generate offense. We watched them play against Arizona last year, and Aaron Rodgers makes the big pass to, I think it was Tonyan, who was still healthy at that point in that game. And so when you look at what they've been able to do, how the run game has come along under Aaron Jones, under A.J. Yeah. Dillon, since they've had Matt LaFleur floor there, I believe that this team understands how to win football games, and they are building defensively. Even with the 2 picks in the first round this year, where we were saying, go wide receiver, go wide receiver, they didn't see one that they felt was worth the pick, and they knew they could move up and get Christian Watkins early in the second round. And that's what they did. I believe it's because they want to play a different brand of football, and mm-hmm, they understood at that point there was no Devontae Adams out there anyway.
All right, let me leave it there for the moment. That's one of the many really fascinating teams to watch. And then speaking of quarterbacks who've lost great weapons, could there possibly be one real flaw in Patrick Mahomes' game? There was one defensive coordinator who thinks the answer is yes. Is it possible he's right? You'll find out next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and what you're looking at are pictures from this morning of Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as Brady begins training camp a week before his 45th birthday. He begins his 23rd season as an NFL quarterback. These are pictures we were not sure a few months ago we would ever see again. In fact, we were sure we'd never see them again when Tom Brady announced his retirement. But now he is back, and that is how we begin Three's Keys this morning with RG3. Robert, how about Tom Brady?
Well, Greeny, Tom Brady just got another future Hall of Famer to throw to in Julio Jones. And I know people will say, hey, it's not 2017. But with Mike Evans and newly acquired Russell Gage, the Bucs just needed a capable all-around receiver to fill the void left by Chris Godwin to help them get through a gauntlet to start the season against the Cowboys, Saints, Packers, and Chiefs. Now, Julio might not be the same guy, but all they need is what he's done the last 2 years until Godwin returns, and anything else on top of that is just icing on the cake. Now, secondly, you talk about Lamar Jackson, right? No matter how many cowardly or anonymous voices come out and speak against him, Lamar Jackson can't stop, won't stop giving his doubters emotional damage every time he embarrasses them out on the field. You can keep your quarterback tears. It doesn't matter. Lamar Jackson's in a tier of his own, a league of his own, with throwing and running the ball, and is on a mission to bring a Super Bowl to Baltimore. And then last but not least, we got the main man, Patrick Mahomes, who is determined to show everybody that he doesn't need the one of the best receivers in the league and the fastest man on grass, Tyreek Hill, to win it all. So what? He's got one of his top four receivers from last year returning, and that's Mecole Hardman, but he got a plethora of playmakers and more depth at the position than ever before, and it's up to him to make sure the chemistry is right, and Patrick Mahomes looks ready to get his Walter White on.
That's really good. So there's Patrick Mahomes. We were talking about that, and again, we used that term yesterday, cowardly, for the defensive coordinator who anonymously had this really personal criticism of Lamar Jackson. From that same piece in The Athletic, Mike Sando's tears piece, here's a different offensive coordinator who had much more reasonable criticism of Patrick Mahomes. He said, "We love Mahomes because of his unorthodox throws, not because of his natural pocket presence. And when that disappears, that is when they lose games. I don't think that is a one. I think that is a two. Nothing against the guy. I love the kid. But take his first read away, and what does he do? He runs, he scrambles, and he plays street ball." So, oh my goodness. RC, go.
Bruh, why are we looking for childhood scars on Sports Illustrated swimsuit models? That's what we're doing now. Now we're just saying, listen, you could be a dang 10. We're just going to find something to say about you. He's a one. He's an MVP. He's a Super Bowl MVP. What tier do you want him to be on? Why all of a sudden do we have to be sitting statues in the pocket and the Model S quarterback that stands there and stares down the barrel and throws the football, makes all the correct reads, has the perfect anticipation? Last I checked, it was about results, period. Not about the way it looked, not about the way it sounded, not about the way it felt. It was about the results. And he's saying, oh, when you take that read away, that's when you lose game. Hell, they barely lose games. So what are you saying? If it's that easy, if it is that easy, you know what? All we got to do is take away Patrick Mahomes' first read, and then he doesn't know how to play anymore, and he's not a one, and that's when they lose. Well, dude, they barely lose. So clearly, either you can't do it, or it works well enough for him to be a one. Like, come on, man. Like, either, and I don't want to disparage the article that was written or the writer, right, or the reporter. But period, we got to start looking at these quotes and saying, you know what? That's stupid. I'm not going to print that, because what we just heard is stupid. And if you watch the film, you understand, yes, he struggled some last year. I even brought some film to get up to talk about it. I was one of those people that said, right now, Patrick Mahomes isn't playing well. He's lost himself. But we watched him correct that. We watched the Kansas City Chiefs correct that. And the reason it was such an aberration was because he had been so perfect before, we'd actually never seen him struggle. Because he's a one, people. He's going to always be a one. He's going to retire a one, probably. And from the time he started playing, he was a one.
Correct. Yeah, so that's the thing. The thing about Lamar Jackson felt personal and insulting. I'm not insulted by this one, but I don't understand it for the life of me. Because RG3, I suppose, to RC's point, you can find tiny flaws in anything and anyone. But if Patrick Mahomes isn't a one, who is? Who is on tier number one? I'd like to ask this person, whoever he is, and RG3, I'll give it to you on this thought. If Patrick Mahomes isn't on the top level tier for you, then who in the world is? Because he's been the best quarterback in the NFL the last few years by a wide margin.
Yeah, Greeny, listen, I had this conversation with Lamar Jackson when he was a rookie, and we talked about, you know, you can't just complain about one throw or two throws, because there's every guy in the league is missing one or two throws here and there. But this coordinator is dead wrong about everything he said except for one thing. Mahomes does like to play street ball, but the reason he can play street ball is because he had such a rapport with guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and a Hall of Fame play caller. But he can play within the structure. In five games without Tyreek Hill, he's got a 103.1 passer rating, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, 5 different leading receivers, and a 4-1 record. That shows you what I've been talking about for weeks now, that the Chiefs can be more efficient and better without Tyreek. They just won't be as prolific. And for example, they're going to hit a lot of doubles. They just might not hit as many home runs this season. But for me, these coordinators, anonymous, they're just scarred. Something happened in the last couple of years where they played against either Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, and they are holding on to that for dear life, because I can promise you right now, that defensive coordinator wishes he had Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback.
All I can say is, please don't let it be the defensive coordinator of my team who's saying this, because anonymously, because that would suggest my defensive coordinator doesn't have the first idea what he's talking about. Darlington, what do you think?
I mean, I flip it to the other side of it when people are critical of Tom Brady because he's a pocket passer, and when he gets out of the pocket, he's ineffective. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
It just
Is he not a one? Like, do we not have him on the tier one because he doesn't move around as well as some other quarterbacks do?
That's not.
If the qualification for being on tier one is it's perfect, there's literally not a single thing missing, then we've created an impossible standard.
Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback on the planet.
He's the best quarterback in the league, so if he's not number one, then I'm not sure who is. Okay, we'll leave that there for the moment. It's ridiculous. College football, the entire industry of college football is shifting beneath our feet as we speak. Yesterday, the Big Ten's commissioner Kevin Warren at their media days was talking about potential conference expansion beyond USC and UCLA and what will drive decision-making in the future. Here's what he said.
I get asked every single day, what's next? It may include future expansion, but it will be done for the right reasons, with our student athletes, academic and athletic empowerment at the center of any and all decisions that we will make regarding any further expansions. We will not expand just to expand. It will be strategic. It will add additional value to our conference.
Fascinating. And with RG3 here, of course, no one more plugged into all of this than Heather is. So, Heather, what should the fans know? As we all sit and watch all this play around, I'm one with a particular interest in the Big Ten. What should the fans know?
This summer of speculation continues. You have to pay attention and take these commissioners at their word, because Kevin Warren said they could continue to expand. We're talking beyond 16 teams. What does that mean for the sport? Look, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is involved in this. He is mad UCLA is leaving for the Big Ten because they left behind Cal. What does that mean for Cal? Could they sneak their way into the Big Ten along with Stanford? What does it mean for Notre Dame? We've seen over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, it started at the Big 12 with their commissioner Brett Yormark saying, we're open for business. And then in the ACC, Jim Phillips says all options are on the table, to Greg Sankey sitting there in the SEC and saying, I'm not going to say we will, I'm not going to say we won't. So here we have it. There's a lot of questions. The people who are in charge still don't know the answers. They want to know where they're going to make the most money.
At the end of the day, though, I think the conventional wisdom, and you tell me if this is right, is that Sankey and the SEC, Warren and the Big Ten, they're in the driver's seat here. They will drive whatever happens next, and everyone else is trying to figure out if they can get a chair at the table.
Buku bucks. I mean, that's where it's at. And Jim Phillips said it perfectly when he said, we are trying to close the revenue gap between them. Everybody's saying, who can get into third place, right? Because these two are clearly the leaders. But in terms of the next move, you still have to consider Notre Dame. Because if they were to decide for some reason to relinquish their independence, what does that do to everybody else?
What does it do?
Well, then the Big Ten would have to add somebody else, I would think, because I don't think they would stop at 17. So what happens to the Pac-12? And don't forget the Big 12, because the Big 12 is still considering expansion. And I know that there are people in that league who want to bring up to six teams from the Pac-12. Pac-10 now. Can they stay together?
These are the questions. I mean, RG3, again, I mean, you won the Heisman. You're one of the great college football players of all time. What is your perspective on all this?
No, I appreciate that, Greeny. And, you know, Heather, some of it is like what happens with the Big 12 if the Big 10 or the SEC tries to come and pluck some of their other teams from the top of it. But I know fans are upset because rivalries and traditions are being demolished. Yeah, we're going to get Texas A&M back. But what about the other ones? Did anybody ever expect to see USC playing against Penn State in the snow? I don't think anyone saw that coming. But listen, NIL is great for the players, but the universities realized, we need a little bit more money if we're going to have to pay our players, our coaches, and for our facilities. So just follow the money, people. This is a money grab because they need the funds to be able to facilitate what college football has become. And if you think that realignment is just starting or is over, it's just getting started, people. Buckle up. There's going to be some big announcements coming soon.
And Heather will be with us for all of that. The Big Ten media deal will most likely be announced pretty soon, and that'll be a big piece in all of this. I'll leave it there for the moment, but we continue following it. By the way, this afternoon we have the second women's soccer Euro semifinal. France taking on Germany. Coverage begins 2:30 Eastern with a 3 Eastern kick on ESPN2 and ESPN+. All right, coming up, the San Francisco quarterback shuffle. Can the 49ers make it back to the NFC Championship game with Trey Lance in place of Jimmy G? That's one question. Here comes another. Heather, Sneaky Hembo is welcoming you the only way he can to our studio. Who was the last quarterback to win the Super Bowl in his second NFL season? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go with the traditional welcome to the studio on Heather Dinich's first day ever with us here in the building on Get Up. Sneaky Hambo, who's the last quarterback to win the Super Bowl in his second NFL season?
This is like hazing. You realize that.
Right? Yes.
I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger is so close. He's the second most recent to do it.
Oh.
But Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl in his second season in 2013. Before that, Roethlisberger. Before that, Brady. Before that, Kurt Warner all won the Super Bowl in their second years. But score that one for Hembo. Russell Wilson is the last to do it. That was Hembo. That was sad. You're going to meet him in person tomorrow. He's underwhelming. Okay. In the meantime, let's do HD, high definition, because Heather puts everything into crystal clear focus for us. And we are talking about second year quarterbacks, beginning with Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, to me, does not deserve to be tossed to the curb because he had a bad season last year. I mean, when you look at Trevor and what he did at Clemson, he's too good. I actually talked to Doug Peterson last night. He said it's fair to say he's better than how he played. It starts up front on the offensive line. He's going to have Travis Etienne back. He's got playmakers around him. It's already better because Doug Peterson is there. And then I'm going to go with Justin Fields for the second one. This is a little bit tricky, but look, if he can actually avoid sacks and not throw interceptions, I know, details. Mm-hmm. Then Bears fans will see what Ohio State fans really loved about him. People forget how good of a runner he is. He had almost 900 rushing yards, 15 rushing touchdowns mm-hmm. at Ohio State. Phenomenal player if they focus on his development. And then Trey Lance is at North Dakota State was phenomenal. The thing is he needs more NFL experience. Let's call last year sort of a redshirt year for him. He only started two games, but he was 17-0 as a starter. And I want to say 307 passes without an interception. Mm-hmm. The dude is accurate. It's his team. He can take a big step forward.
Okay. So I'm sitting here and I'm looking through all these notes here and I'm waiting. Obviously, somehow Zach Wilson got missed in that conversation, mm-hmm. right? Like so Zach's enormous improvement in year two will put aside for another day. Let's talk about Trey Lance. Yesterday, his coach Kyle Shanahan gave him a vote of confidence despite the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster.
Well, this is Trey's team. And that's nothing against Jimmy. We made that decision a year ago, and we're going with that. And Jimmy understands that fully. He's a big guy, and it's nothing against him either. That's a business decision, and that's what makes it not awkward.
Understood. So awkwardness is one thing, and Super Bowl aspirations are another. And you know, Ryan Clark, that's a different kind of pressure that Trey Lance walks in there with. We talked about second-year quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl. If he doesn't get this team to the NFC Championship game, people will wonder if this was a huge mistake. What do you think of Trey Lance in San Francisco?
You know what? I don't think people will wonder that. I think people understood who Jimmy Garoppolo was. And I also don't want to undercut that. Jimmy Garoppolo, while a San Francisco 49ers, won so many games above his replacement. I know that's not like a football term or a football stat, but it is, I think, a baseball stat. And so when you think about the things that he do, get to a Super Bowl, be a pass away to Emmanuel Sanders from winning another NFC championship, he was really good. But Jimmy Garoppolo had a very low ceiling. That was the decision to move up to number three. And now that you have Trey Lance, you expect him to elevate you eventually. Trey Lance doesn't have to get to the NFC championship this year. Trey Lance doesn't have to win a Super Bowl this year. He has to show that he has the capabilities of being a franchise quarterback who can make plays outside of the realm realm of the playbook. That is why they have him. Does it show dividends this year? Maybe not. But for the future, for the next decade, that's what they want. And Trey Lance has to go out and prove that he has the foundation to do that.
RG3, how good is he going to be?
Oh, I think Trey Lance is going to be really good. But listen, we can all stand up here and say people aren't going to say this because they didn't do that and they didn't have the same success with Trey Lance as they did with Jimmy Garoppolo in year one. But not everybody is as sensible as we are. So, yes, if Trey Lance doesn't get them deep into the playoffs, NFC Championship game, people will wonder why didn't they just continue to work it with Jimmy Garoppolo. But I can tell you this, Trey Lance is going to be able to make the plays that Jimmy G made and the plays that Jimmy G couldn't make. And I think that's why Kyle Shanahan just really abruptly says, hey, this is a business decision that we made. We have moved on. Now, no matter how many times he says it's not awkward, it's still awkward because Jimmy G is still there. But Trey Lance is going to be in a structured system with a coach that loves him and appreciates him and is willing to step out there and say, this is your team. Go make the most of it.
Trey Lance, sort of a Josh Allen-esque skill set coming in is the way a lot of people, the evaluators, sort of looked at it. How about the Jimmy G of it all here? What are we expecting as far as his departure?
The 49ers still want to trade him to get the $26 million off the books, but every team in the NFL knows that eventually they're going to have to get rid of him. It's going to have to take something in training camp, whether an injury or something unforeseen, for the 49ers to get any compensation for Jimmy G.
And of course, Heather, we all know that actually the biggest improvement in year two will be Zach Wilson of the Jets.
Yeah. Some
things just don't even need to be said, which is why I know you didn't say it. All right, RC's on his way to do First Take. You're the man. Thank you, my friend. As always, outstanding. We will do much more as continue in a moment here on Get Up. But then, as I mentioned, RC's off to do First Take. They'll talk about this. Who's the bigger problem in Dallas now, Mike McCarthy or Jerry Jones? And can Aaron Rodgers make it three straight MVPs? They're 8 minutes away. First Take here on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we continue, and don't miss the Subway Series conclusion tonight, game 2 of 2 between the Mets and Yankees. Max Scherzer on the hill. Mets looking for a 2-game sweep, coverage 7 Eastern on ESPN. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, ESPN films 7-part docuseries The Captain continues with episodes 3 and 4, deep dive into Derek Jeter's life on and off the field. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Parts 1 and 2 are available on ESPN Plus anytime you like. Meanwhile, the Cowboys are set to have their first practice today, and their quarterback, Dak Prescott, enters his 7th season healthy and ready to go. Here is what Jerry Jones had to say about his QB as they enter training camp.
I feel like we have one of the best people at that position and one of the best people that a team has in the NFL. He's a big part of my optimism.
So, again, coming off of a bunch of summers of question marks, right, Dak? It was the contract, and it was all the injuries. Now it's sort of all systems go. RG3, what are your expectations for Dak in Dallas this year?
Yeah, I think Dak and the Dallas Cowboys will be better, and they'll be viable in the playoffs. I think they have to make a decision on whether they want to win the stat sheets or if they want to win games in the playoffs. And I think what that means is for Kellen Moore, if he wants to have Dak's back, he has to unleash the running attack. These Cowboys, they have a great defense. They have that offensive line that can really lead the way. Don't put it on Dak's shoulders by having him throw the ball over 40 times a game. That's not how you win in the playoffs. And only Patrick Mahomes last year threw the ball more than 40 times and actually won the game, and that was against the Bills in overtime.
Yeah, that's a really interesting look at it. So do we start to see a little shift back to that power offense the Cowboys were playing a few years ago? What are you hearing?
Maybe, and I keep hearing that they'll go to more of a committee approach in the run. running game, save Zeke for the end of the season by putting Tony Pollard in earlier in the year. Ultimately, though, it wasn't Dak's fault last year. No. 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He just needs to keep doing what he's doing.
Right. No one says it was Dak's fault. But the question is there another level to which he can take it? And RG3, super quick. I like the idea of him maybe running with the football a little more. He seemed understandably hesitant to do it last year coming off the injuries. Maybe that's a bigger part of the game this year.
Yeah, Greeny, I think he was hesitant to do it, and the Packers were hesitant to run him. So now, after having a full offseason being healthy, Dak will utilize his legs more because we did see that disappear last year, and for good reason. Now he can actually add to that running game with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and I think that makes him that much more dangerous.
Yeah, I think he's got sort of sneaky, interesting MVP potential. We can talk about that as we go. RG3, awesome. Darlington, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.